It's time for the Apple Watchcast. A Series 4 Apple Watch takes a bath in 24-karat gold. The original Apple Watch wasn't everything Apple wanted it to be. A look at some realistic Apple product photography, and we preview what to expect at next week's WWDC event. Plus reviews of Kernel Movie Release Tracker app, new Nike bands, and the Motion Watch faces. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 282, recorded Monday, May 27th, 2019. Exploding Unicorns and Robots.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you. Thanks for making it. And also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Vincent. Happy Memorial Day to you guys.
Yeah, this is kind of neat that it worked out. We could actually do a show today.
Yes.
I thought we might have to bump it another day, but this is good. This is good. So you're all relaxing, taking it easy?
Yes. I caught up on work.
What?
Well, you know, that's good too, I guess. I caught up on my eating is what I've been doing.
Oh, I did that yesterday.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, eating way too much.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know, and I have this global job. So I woke up this morning. I'm like, why do I have all these email on a holiday? And I'm like, oh, it's from every other country I work with that doesn't have Memorial Day.
Yeah, they're not observing this. Yeah. It's right. Just us here in the U.S. Anyway, glad both of you could make it. Next week, is the WWDC coming up. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time after we get through some brief news here. We'll talk about kind of what we think might be revealed, what's in the cards. Some interesting stuff. I think it's going to be heavy on software, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Like usually it is more that, but I really don't see a whole lot of hardware coming. But anyway, some could be some fun stuff. Anything else you want to mention here before we go through all this?
No, I'm ready for it.
Okay. Jump right in.
All right. The first thing I want to talk about, this was pretty cool. This was kind of, again, one of those news stories that when it pops, everybody starts linking to it and doing whatever. And but in this case, someone took an Apple Watch, a Series 4, and they dipped it in 24-karat gold.
Yeah. All right.
So this is, I've never heard of these people, but I'm sure they're quite famous. YouTube stars Casey Neistat and Jerry Rig Everything's Zach Nelson teamed up to dip an Apple Watch Series 4 in 24-karat pure gold. Now, we remember that the Apple Watch Edition version was 18-karat gold, but that was solid. It wasn't just plated. That was solid gold. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen that since they discontinued it in 2016.
Right.
So that's been long gone, and that was $10,000. This one, the neat thing about it is it can even run Watch OS 5, which we know the gold could never do. Even if you had one, you can't run the current software on it. So what they did, they placed it in an electro cleaner solution, dip it into an acid solution to etch the chrome out of it. They primed it with gold filament, and then they placed it in a gold plating solution. So I guess this is the typical process for gold plating.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But what I did not see them do was take any effort to seal any of the ports.
Well, they put it in water mode, maybe.
Is there a gold mode? I don't know if there is, but so when they turn the crown, it spit out gold. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
But it worked. It actually worked, yeah. and it runs. So that was pretty neat. Because like I said before the show, this could have gone sideways so quickly on them.
It could have.
But then we probably never would have seen it.
They were dipping dipping Easter eggs. You know how I used to do the color the Easter eggs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does kind of look like that. He's got that little holder for it. Quite ingenious. Held it perfectly. I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see this. It's kind of a fun video. Then they're just amazed. They're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wonder if the CGG, the EKG thing still works. I mean, it's electroplated. I mean,
you know, I looked at the, I kind of paid attention to the crown. It's not gold. So it did not get the process. So I don't know what that's covered with.
Because
they didn't mask off anything.
They didn't do anything. They didn't mask it or anything, did they?
No, not that I could tell. But I wonder what this would cost to do.
I don't know. Now I got to do the band next.
Yeah.
Like a Melanie's loop?
Yeah, something like that. Or the link one, right?
Yeah, the stainless link would be awesome.
Oh, the stainless link, yeah.
In gold.
I don't know. That's interesting, Tom. I don't know how much it would cost to do that.
I mean, the gold itself has got probably more than the watch, I would imagine. So, yeah, I mean, not a cheap process.
Between $329 and $10,000.
Yeah. Still cheap.
I would guess.
Still cheaper than the original, I will say.
Yes.
That. Even in resale value, I would imagine much cheaper. But very cool. Very cool. So congrats to both of them for pulling that off. And then I thought this was kind of interesting this week that we got some details about speaking about the first original Apple Watch. Apparently, one of a former Apple Watch product design lead, her name is Anna Katrina Shadesky. She, I guess, had an interview and she revealed that for the first watch, Apple actually tried and failed to integrate the ECG and a cellular antenna into that first gen watch. And she said, despite these frustrations, it was still incredibly exciting to work on a product like this. But wow, can you imagine what it'd be like if they pulled that off in the first round?
Wow.
That would have been incredible.
Would have been hard to have subsequent releases.
I was going to say, where would we be now had the first one had that? She said the design difficulties came up because of the size of the device. And there was waterproofing considerations, its position on the wrist. But they eventually overcame all of those with different versions of the watch later on. Now, they say that for the ECG, the waterproofing was the biggest challenge because it required they had to isolate the electrodes, which could let the seams leak water. So that was an issue. And finding an accurate sensor was also difficult. But they ditched it for the PPG sensor, which we got. And then they said the cellular antenna was also skipped for the first generation because that design was also very difficult because of the size profile of the watch. And they said that that was actually solved by, and we mentioned this before in the show when it came out, carving a groove into the glass cover to allow the separation from the metal enclosure and the metal traces of the display itself. She mentioned that this was such a tricky feat of engineering that she compared it to the family board game of Operation.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
That is.
I'm like, that's not Operation. That's like advanced Operation.
Yeah, that's like, I think that's like having a 3-foot high Jenga tower and having to remove one ring around the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably of that level.
There you go.
Still kind of interesting. What might have been?
Would they solve the problem in 3 years? The difference between the first and the fourth version or third version that came out?
Yeah. But you know what? They added waterproofing along the way too. So that might have helped helped them get there, right?
It makes me think that they probably. Yeah. Did they solve it like just a year later and just kept it secret until they could? release it to the next versions?
Maybe, but I bet at the same time, because these things are done on such, what people don't realize, these things are done in such a time frame that's, you know, done a year in advance, mm-hmm. that they probably already had a new design for the watch itself, you know, the size.
Right.
And now whatever they did to solve it has to be fit into that, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff is done, you know, people assume they design it and create it and ship it. Well, that process is overlaps every model. You know what I mean?
They do.
So we're going right. to, we're gonna get the Series 5, but I think they're already working on 6. Right? Yeah,
it's the same engineering feat, but it's kind of like the Apollo spacecraft where you had different teams working on the next one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It totally overlapped and learned from the other ones, and they did all kinds of prototyping, and they were probably way ahead, you know, they were ready way ahead before the release date. They just kind of have to wait till the September timeframe.
Oh, for marketing and catch up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and a lot of, yeah, a lot of this, I'm sure they can also catch up with software on some of these mm-hmm. features that are missing or whatever. But, you know, it's quite a task to do all this. It's just amazing. It's almost like, I liken it to the, because it's just been in the news so much lately, but in creating like a TV show, when people complain mm-hmm. about something, they want to see something in the next episode, they don't realize that was done a year ago.
That's there's nothing you can do about
No, and the creators of the show are not reacting to fan reaction before the next episode comes out. And obviously I'm talking about Game of Thrones, but that was done a year ago, all signed, sealed, and delivered and done, you know?
Yeah.
So any reaction along the way is kind of silly to think that they're going to make those changes. Mm-hmm. It's just not, especially, I don't know if you saw, here we go off on a tangent. This is now Game of Thrones podcast, but did you see the documentary on the making of?
I haven't watched it yet.
It came out last night, I guess. But it's a 2-hour documentary on the making of the last season, the entire season.
Oh.
And when you see that, you have such an appreciation for what they do and how it's done.
Mm.
And what you end up with is just mm-hmm. unbelievable. But yeah, it's done so far in advance. Wow. It's crazy.
They rent a lot of flamethrowers.
There's a guy who's in charge of snow.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about Jon Snow. He's in charge of snow. And his job is to make every set have the exact amount of snow and look and feel.
Wow.
And he's perfect.
That's attention to detail.
He's perfect at his craft.
But they didn't get rid of the water bottle.
They didn't even mention it. No. Or the coffee cup. Yeah. But you know, it you need to watch it if you're a fan, because it's
plan to.
It's called
plan
The Last to. Watch, and it's appropriately named.
I thought they did the whole last season with a green screen and a Mac.
Pretty much, they actually have one of the biggest green screen walls ever created.
I can imagine,
and they show part of that, and it's just mm-hmm. mind blowing. For I mean, in working in advertising and making commercials, I've worked with green screens. And very small. I've never seen anything on this scale.
Hmm. Well, that just shows how good actors are. Not that we're going further into the tangent, but acting to a green screen where you can't even see the emotional element in front of you is incredible.
Right. And you hear the direction from the director who's telling them what to react to. You know, this and this and this and this, and they nail it. You know, it's amazing. Anyway,
They should make an Apple Watch that's, you know, Game of Thrones themed and call it the Night's Watch.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
That's great.
The Night's Watch.
Sounds like a good title.
It does. Yeah. And it should have on the band all the different houses.
Yeah, the sigils. Yeah.
Or you could do a series of them. You could just buy the house that you like.
Now there you go.
Yeah, or it can rotate through them on the watch face.
Face. Why not?
That's pretty cool. I love that idea.
That's pretty good, Vincent.
That's marketing.
You might have to trademark that.
Yeah, you may. TM. There you go. No, I think somebody already owns that. but if Apple was involved with HBO, maybe they already would have done that. The Night's Watch. Okay, let's see what else is going on. We'll move off of that for the moment. And by the way, that's not my pick for what I like this week. This is a documentary, but I'll add it to the list. How's that?
All right.
Okay. This next is also very fun. This comes to us from, what was it, a publication called The Asian Age. And this is about a student, a Chinese design student, whose name is Elvin Hu, H-U, right? Am I saying that right?
Hu? Yep, sure.
Hu has created what he feels are realistic Apple photography product shots. And they include a watch with a cracked face, a iPad with a very smudged screen, an iPhone case that's just very well worn, the back of an iPod that's just scratched to death, and even the hands holding the product are flawed,
mm-hmm.
but they're all shot beautifully like Apple products, the technique. Yep. And it's kind of a cool commentary about how we use our products. And you know, he states though that they always look perfect and great and that they never stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, in the business, that's called a hero product. You pick the absolute best one. So if you're shooting something like even a potato chip, you pick the absolute best looking one, and that's your that's your hero chip, right? So in Apple's case, they polish it up and make it absolutely pristine. And the same with the hands. The hands are models, hands that are perfect in every way you can think of to make that product look enticing to you. But you know, the minute you start using it, fingerprints, mm-hmm. smudges, scratches, cracks, all of that happen. So this is kind of a refreshing look at that. Although I have to say, the photo of the watch, I would get that replaced.
Exactly. I was going to say that. I've seen the other devices look like worn out, some of these pictures indicate, but never a watch on someone's wrist like that.
You get your finger cut if you tried to use that.
Yeah.
Pretty smashed up, yeah.
Mine is...
Well, there's that commercial that has... it's probably three or four years ago, right? I can't remember who it was about replacing the phone, and the guy was trying to... It was all, you know, his fingers were all bandaged up from...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Watch face.
Oh,
yeah, because he wouldn't repair it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. And that's what this looks like. It just kind of creeps me out to see it that bad. I mean, mine has a nice little chunk in the corner, but it's not... I feel better about it now looking at this watch. but anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes for this so you can see these photos.
It's not funny that he's going to be working for Google later this year.
That's what it says as a...
that's so funny.
What is a... interface
UX
design. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing they mentioned was that he... what did he do? He watched Apple keynotes.
Yeah.
And he refined his English that way. And he paid attention to their... how they do their product photography. So not only did he manage to improve his English language skills, but he also is now, what is it? He studies at the Cooper Union in New York City. Studying photography. So
Apple doesn't use any of their actual products. I mean, isn't it all 3D these days? I mean, all the commercials and things flying around. Imagine it's not any photography anymore.
Not anymore. It used to be. But you're right. Like just like cars,
yeah.
We see all these wonderful images of cars zooming around. It's all digital. It's all digital.
No more of those rigged up cars with cameras everywhere.
There's some of that, but not nearly to that level. yeah, I know. It's everything has changed so much. Oh, again, side tangent on that documentary I watched. What blew me away the most was they had stunt people choreographing a fight or whatever battle,
mm-hmm.
and then they would film it, and they would actually put in the effects right then and there to show arrows and stabs and wounds, and you know, immediately on an iPad they can see from just this little rehearsal whether it's going to work. And man, I wouldn't have done to have that type of pre-visualization before you actually shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. So if they're doing that with testing stuff, then yeah, most of what you see these days is all digital. It's, I mean, it can be perfect that way, and they can make it move and dance and do whatever they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the only way you're going to get a phone to do what it does on the screen, right? It just, anyway, okay, moving on. Let's see. This is a rumor, but a very interesting and fun one, is that iPhone 11 could let users send music to two Bluetooth devices at the same time. What do you think of that?
The same music?
Yes.
Okay. Not two different ones.
No, actually it does diverge just a bit. Let me explain a little bit more in this article. This is from 9to5 Mac. You know, right now the iPhone and iPad support multi-room audio with AirPlay 2 speakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying Apple is going to add dual Bluetooth audio support for the next phone. So what that could mean is that two people could listen to music from the same phone connected by two sets of AirPods simultaneously, right? Okay, that's still kind of neat because they're wireless. And currently you can only connect to one audio profile at a time. So you can be paired to multiple headphones, but the sound can only come out of one.
Mm-hmm.
So the phone supports multiple connections of different types already. For example, it is possible to be connected to headphones and the Apple Watch simultaneously. Well, dual Bluetooth audio, it's already supported by some Android devices, but this little example here is very telling. It says, as a use case, the iPhone could be connected to a car and wireless earphones, but sending navigation speech to the car speakers while sending music to the headphones.
Mm.
So there you are splitting what you're hearing.
Yeah. I hope the driver is not listening to the
headphones. Well, I know. Yeah. I know. Right? Right? but they're saying, and this is, I guess, from Samsung phones, that this dual Bluetooth audio suffers from synchronization issues.
Mm.
But I bet Apple solves that. They wouldn't release anything that wouldn't, you know.
You'd think so.
Meet mm-hmm. their standards, you would hope.
So it doesn't have to be music. It's more around the Bluetooth connection and whatever the Bluetooth connection is playing, right? It could be a movie on Netflix or music or anything, correct?
Yeah. I mean, the potential is kind of cool to think about.
Yeah.
We just haven't thought about it that way before. Yeah. So anyway, we'll look for that.
It eliminates the sharing of earbuds or something, whatever y'all do to...
Right. And that, you know, one puts in the left one and one puts in the right one. You hear the same music.
Totally well, done that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a phone conversation with another person where you had like I was talking to my sister who lives in New York and my daughter had one earbud and I had the other and we can have a conversation with my sister. It was like a three-way call, but you know, with AirPods.
But because each AirPod had a microphone too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Interesting. Well, this would give each of you could have, you know, stereo, both, right and left. So
exactly.
We'll see if that comes about.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year, whenever I hear these rumors, I'm thinking something's leaking, that may be true. I take more stock in them when they're this close to a developers conference. Speaking of the developers conference, have you seen the invite that went out? I don't know if we're a little late in talking about this, but it did show up. It's an image of a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to explain it. It's an exploding unicorn. Its head is exploding with all of these iOS icons.
Right.
It's just kind of a weird looking thing. And then if you look at the when they announced the WWDC, it was an icon of the robot. Now, these are from the Animoji, by the way, the unicorn.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so is the robot, and the robot's head is exploding too.
Right.
So we're talking about exploding unicorns and robots here. That's going to be a fun WWDC, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, the toolkits. Yep.
So I don't know what they mean. I mean, people try to read stuff into these images every time they send out an announcement. Mm. I don't think there's anything hidden in these. This is just kind of strange.
Yeah, well, they got the little paper airplane. They got all kinds of little things in there that Maybe it's generational, right?
Yeah, those are the kits, right? The software development kits. You got the Swift one,
right?
You've got what, Metal for the 3D motion one, the app icon, calculator. Maybe they're gonna have a real calculator.
But then you've got things like Launchpad is in there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. Then there's the App Store icon.
Yeah, there is a settings icon. There's everything.
And then, like, for the one with the robot, you've got, like, there's all kinds of stuff flying out of it.
Well, you know, we'll see. Braces. Like I said, maybe this is the opening video will be interesting to see this year.
Exactly. Maybe it's themed to this. Does this mean that whatever they're going to do is going to blow our minds? Is that what they're trying to tell us?
Yeah, exactly.
And I did notice one thing. Dark mode. These are black with white line. You know, it's all reversed.
Dark mode on your phone, huh?
Dark mode on your phone. That's going to be a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see what these look like.
I don't see the AirPower icon, though.
Yeah, no. I think that's been eliminated. maybe in a future release. Maybe not. Okay, so let's talk about WWDC. What we might expect now that we're kind of on that subject here. It's really just days away. We're talking about next week, literally a week away as we record this. And as usual, we're going to see new software for the iPhone, the iPad, the Mac, Apple TV, and the Apple Watch. For sure, we're going to see all versions of that. So let's talk about iOS 13 first and kind of what everybody thinks is going to be released. I think there's obviously going to be the typical speed improvements and bug fixes and some interface, you know, tweaks and that sort of thing. They're talking about launching multitasking and closing apps, that those are going to trigger with a new animation, which I think they really need to really make you understand what you're doing when you launch more than one app and how to open and close them. Have you done this? Have you opened up in your iPad accidentally two apps side by side and not known how to get rid of it? I can't tell you how many times I've done that because I keep...
Don't use an iPad all that often.
Okay, well, I don't use it for that often, but if I accidentally trigger it, I have to look up how to close it because it's not intuitive. So if they're working on that, I'm all for it. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, but I just couldn't figure it out. And then they're saying widgets are going to get a cleaner look, whatever that means. And Apple is considering a swipe to type keyboard. That I don't like. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just run your finger across it?
Them. Yeah.
Do you like them?
No, not really.
Okay.
That capability now on the iPad where you can like swipe... To get the upper part of the key, get swiped down or something, you know.
No,
there's already capability to do something like that.
No, this is like if I'm looking at a numeric keypad, I can just swipe a pattern to hit the numbers.
With my finger. Oh, yes, no.
Is that what swipe to type is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You just kind of like hover. You go from key to key, and then it kind of senses where you change direction. And that's the key you intended.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, let's, type out so you can.
That sounds like it's just going to be full of errors.
It sounds unnatural, but I guess you'd have to try it.
Yeah. And then, of course, we talked about dark mode. That dark mode will probably be the biggest thing of the event, probably get the most applause. iMessage is getting profile sections where you can choose a photo and select who can see it. That's interesting. Reminders is getting updated with a new grid showing different tasks. Okay, hopefully that's going to improve that. The health app, they say, is getting a big update. Daily activity will be featured more prominently on the front page. Hearing health will be added, telling users how loud an environment is or if they're listening to music too loudly. Side note, it's also going to tell you, if it does, that you're too old.
Well, you know by your age.
Yeah, just kidding. You're too old. And then Find My iPhone might get updated to support third-party devices. Huh. Mm. And then there's also a rumor Apple might release its own tracker attachment like that company Tile.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be interesting. I'd love to see what that would look like.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out where you can find your AirPod case if you misplace that thing.
Well, just stick one of these new Apple Air Tiles on it or whatever it's going to be called.
Exactly.
Yeah, what would you call that? An Air Find? An Air Locator? Air GPS? I don't know. but that should be fun. And then also, as I mentioned, iPad will be getting some multitasking improvements. The home screen is going to be tweaked a little bit. And this is kind of wild. Rumors claim that there might be mouse support for iOS 13.
Oh, interesting.
I don't see that happening.
Hmm.
But that's a big jump, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Change the interface like that? I don't know.
That would be interesting. You'd sell more mice for iPad users.
That muddies the water a bit, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, some Money people these still days. Go that route.
It's like everybody wants to add touch to the Mac, and Apple's like, nope, but we're going to add the mouse to the iPad. Just the opposite, right? And they're also saying, oh, go ahead.
That is interesting. I mean, the thing is, how do you make the iPad into a full-blown, you know, laptop?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it makes you think within the constraints of touch. But yeah, mouse doesn't really help with that, does it?
It doesn't, but is this Apple's way of nudging us towards getting rid of the Mac?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that to me is a big step towards that. We'll have to see.
I don't know. How do you think Steve Jobs would like the mouse with the iPad capability?
I don't see that.
I don't know.
I don't think that would be a big, you know, on the top of his list.
Yeah, I mean, I understand how people want it. Especially if you're going to say that is the future. If you're going to say the future is just these flat tablet screens as computers, you're going to need that level of control.
You will.
So I don't know. We'll wait and see. I don't see that happening. I'd be a little surprised if it did, but that is a rumor that's out there.
You got me thinking, Chris. I mean, like, what would Steve Jobs want? And I'm like, the natural language processing where you can talk to Siri, the stuff that Google's doing and how eerily realistic it is. I mean, the thing is, that's something that Apple, if Siri spoke like that, that would be freaking amazing. Like, to be able to like actually work with the devices and say, hey, open the last file I opened, you know, like I was working on, you know. Find emails from Tom. That'd be so much better.
That would be fantastic. Yes,
it is. It would be. And I think part of that is, we talked about this in the past, but I think a lot of that has to do with data.
Mm.
And Apple does not collect that data to make Siri smarter.
Yeah.
Whereas Google and Amazon do.
Mm.
They collect and listen to every single word you say to these devices so they can learn.
Yeah. Well, simple commands, Tom. I mean, it wouldn't have to learn for commands, but you know, some of the things Vincent was talking about, that's pretty straightforward stuff, isn't it?
It is, but I think that when you talk about AI and it learning, machine
learning,
it requires that data. And that's just something Apple fundamentally is not in its DNA to do. So they're going to have to, now, it doesn't mean they can't do it. It means they're going to have to come up with another way to do it. Which they may, you know. I mean, if you're talking about Steve Jobs, I think he would have, I mean, Siri was released when he was around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at some point he would have held back until it was, you know, some amazing jump in technology and then release it all at once and just, you know, blow everybody away with it.
Mm-hmm.
These little incremental things that they keep doing doesn't make it look like it's changing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, Siri's supposed to get some updates with new commands that third-party developers can access. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be a great leap forward that we're all wanting.
No, I don't think so.
There's... Right.
I struggle with Siri.
Yeah, I just wish it was better.
Yeah.
You know,
if I have to hear one more time, this is what I found on the web.
Exactly. because it doesn't know, it can't go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. So many, like I said, it's data. It's all data. Mm. And let's see what. Now they did hire some people we mentioned before to work mm-hmm. on this problem, so they are working on it, I'm sure. What else is That's going it. On? They said better NFC support that triggers Apple Pay without an app is on the way too. Whatever that.
That's that sticker thing.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that has to do with the tiles we're talking about. They're little stickers. They're stickers you put on everything. But unfortunately, Apple isn't expected to give Mac OS a lot of love this year. The biggest feature that may be talked about with, and this would be Mac OS 10.15, would be the ability to run iPad apps on the Mac. And that's thanks to a project called Marzipan.
Marzipan.
Yeah. And this will make it easier for developers to create cross-platform apps.
Hmm.
So now we're talking about going the other direction.
Right.
You're talking about taking iPad stuff or iOS stuff and putting it on the Mac. But then, I don't know. That's confusing. It really is. But they'll probably show that off with some really cool thing. Now, supposedly they already created a new podcast app and an Apple Music app with Marzipan. So I guess they
will, can't get over the fact that this is made out of Marzipan. Okay.
Yeah. That, but that's what they apparently are going to show off.
Okay.
Now, Find My iPhone and Find My Friends from iOS 13 are also going to make their way onto the Mac.
Mm.
And the new version of 10.15 will let you use your iPad as a second monitor and will include a new Siri Shortcuts app.
Oh, that's a bunch of apps we got. Sure luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, if this indeed happens. And then they say the Apple Watch will be more integrated with the Mac as a way to authenticate certain commands. We talked about this earlier on one of our shows. That mm-hmm. it's going to have it's going to do more than just unlock your Mac.
That's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And now let's get to the most important one here, watchOS 6.
Yay.
Yay. We've talked about a lot of different things already through all of the different things that Apple has filed with different patents and things like that. But they're saying that the Apple Watch will finally untether more from the iPhone thanks to a new app store that's just for Apple Watch apps. So currently developers have to create an iPhone app and a companion Apple Watch app,
mm-hmm.
And you have to install those apps, as we know, through the Watch app on the phone. Mm-hmm. If you're able to add apps to your watch on the fly, it's still unclear if you still need that iPhone to set up your Apple Watch. That was a question I had.
Mm-hmm.
How independent can it become? And does that open up the watch to users of Android and everything else, that you don't even need an iPhone to use it? I mean, remember what happened to mm-hmm. iTunes when they opened it up? Boom, big explosion.
Yeah.
Okay, other updates. Well, so
does that imply that you can like initiate the download from your watch then?
Yes.
And maybe then once it's downloaded, if you can configure it all from – maybe there's going to be an Apple Watch app on your watch similar yes. to what's on your phone.
I think you would have to have that along with the
store.
Yeah,
you'd have to have that mm-hmm. to configure and
– right.
Well, that's cool. That'd be neat.
Or is there an online component? I mean, searching for apps on your watch is going to be very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
Discovery is going to be real hard in something so small. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they'll figure a way out to connect it.
Yeah, I'm noticing too now with more, I use the list view and I'm like, boy, now I'm just scrolling up and down and up and down, right? And then I want to go back to the icon view and I'm like, well, as long as I can put them all in the right place. So it is. It's getting a little squirrely to find the apps if they're not on your complication or in your dock.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just I can't tell you how hard it is right now to even find an app for the watch, much mm-hmm. less yeah. now limit it down to the watch. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Not to say it's very complicated to add a complication.
That's true. Yeah. How would you do that? you know what they could do? If you hold down on the complication force press, up pops a list of possible complications. You just choose it right there.
Force press. Yeah.
That would work. Mm. But again, man, that's a major overhaul. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Other new apps or other new updates expected with this will be new health apps. We talked about this before, an audiobooks app, a calculator, a native calculator, a pill tracking app, and a lot more things, including some new complications and emojis to come. That's another rumor, sleep tracking and possible new watch faces. That would be there's actually some names for these, so I'm wondering if this isn't really true and has leaked. Extra large, California, solar analog, infograph, subdial, and gradient. I got some actual names on some of these, so we'll see what happens there.
What do you think about third party watch faces?
No.
I guess.
No. I'll go to Vegas and bet on that one. It ain't going to happen.
I don't think so either, by the way.
No, not going to happen. Okay, tvOS 13. Wow, tvOS 13. How is it that, I guess, tvOS and now iOS, they're all the same number now, aren't they? How did they manage? Look at that nice little math trick they did. tvOS 13. Don't know how many changes are going to be to that, other than the fact that Apple TV Plus is launching this fall. So there could be some new stuff coming with that. Now, hardware-wise, the only thing we might see, because they once again teased us back in 2017 about redoing the Mac Pro, this would be a perfect time and a perfect audience to at least reveal some of it to us. Maybe not shipping yet, but show us. Although they've been bitten by doing that, so maybe not. You know, to show it and not release it.
It would have to be in production or something to really show it this time.
Right. So this whole thing is going to take place at the San Jose Convention Center, June 3rd, which is this coming Monday. And it'll be at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So set your calendars and schedule for that. You'll be able to watch it live everywhere you normally would watch a keynote event, either on your Apple TV, on your iPhone, online, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of ways to do that. As I mentioned before, I'm going to be able to actually watch this one live. I won't be on the road, so that's good.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, so maybe if I have the energy, I'll be tweeting throughout. Warning, there may be spoilers coming your way if you want to watch it later.
It's in my calendar.
Yeah. So
that's next Monday.
Next Monday. And I would like to, and I'm not going to speak for both of you, but I'd love to do a show that night, next Monday night, if we can, just to do our quick first impression of what we saw. And then we'll do a whole breakdown later.
That's on my calendar as well, Tom.
Okay, good. Good deal. See if that will work.
Trying to plan ahead.
Anything else you want to, was a rumor maybe from the, or you want to see from the Worldwide Developers Conference that we didn't cover?
No.
I'm sure there's going to be some surprises.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, let's move on to what we like this week. And why don't you start us off here, Vincent?
Yeah, so I kind of was kind of searching around and came across the, the motion watch faces, the latest ones. I mean, and the amount of attention to detail that Apple's put into them. It kind of started with the first watch when they released the butterfly, the jellyfish, and the flower.
Right.
And my wife is the only one I knew that used the flower one anyways.
Okay.
But this latest watchOS 5 release, it was about 8 months ago. They had the fire, water, the vapor one, liquid metal, which kind of had like different themes, like steel, mercury, and copper kind of colors. But like, I never really watched the video. I think we talked about it when they released it, but like, there was this video that they, I don't know if they officially released it or the folks that came across it, I forget who it was, but Cool Hunting, I think, created the video, and it showed how they made these metal rigs and these plexiglass rigs that are about like 2 by 3 feet. These things are huge, but it like basically looks like the watch face. And they basically, for the fire one, bolted a metal rig up to the ceiling and then pointed a blowtorch at it and shot these things, you know, like at super high frame rate, high res, with GoPros. I mean, you could see it in the video, and I don't know how many GoPros they burned doing this, but like, it definitely was a shot on an iPhone. Yeah, the rigs have the hour tick marks on them so that you can see the fire and the water or whatever wrap around those individual kind of elements. And it's just kind of amazing to see how they went through that process. And I can't imagine how many of those plexiglass tanks that they had to – they put paint in there and metallic paint and swirled it around. They put like something looked like a paint blender in a water tank to make the bubbles and stuff, and then shot all those things and see how it reacted with all the different things that are in there. But the end result is like these amazing things that show off the edges of the Apple Watch 4, right? I mean, that's what it was meant for. But like I maybe had it on my watch for, I don't know, like a few hours. And
yeah, exactly.
It was one of those things, right? They have two versions. They have the ones that go all the way to the full edge for the Apple Watch 4. And then the folks that can run watchOS 5 can install that on the 3 and the 2, just the circular face. And the circular face is the only one that you can have up to three complications and a smiley formation with the two on top and then the smiley face on the bottom around the bottom circle. I really appreciate the fact that the work that they went into this. They could have totally like done this in 3D, but I guess like, you know, in real life, sometimes in real life, it's not as amazing as the 3D in terms of like fire and explosions and stuff like that. But like, I guess it took the time and effort to go through all the different types of things that they could do. But each one of those faces, there's about like two to three, I think. Usually three different versions of fire and water and the smoke and vapor ones and stuff like that, where they went through and they shot all those things. But I don't know. I just want to take a moment to kind of like just appreciate that. And some once in a while, I mean, put the watch face on and you can mm-hmm. see how cool and how much attention to detail they put into
well,
that.
Well, they kind of subscribe to what I subscribe to is if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing.
Yeah,
they,
really.
They just went all out. You're right. Mm-hmm. To the level of detail and the time and effort and money they put into what most people would look at and just barely glance at.
Mm-hmm,
And the same with the jellyfish. They did the same thing.
Where are those jellyfish? I'm sorry for the jellyfish.
I hope there's a special tank in the Apple Park that they live in, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm really excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and look at those again because it's been a while since I had them on.
Yeah.
Started using those more often. I just started to actually try to change up my watch faces because I was just gotten used to the same one.
Mm-hmm.
And I do use those. They are incredible.
I'm kind of I'm stuck in a rut with the Infograph, but
that's what I was, Tom. So I've tried to change mine a lot.
I've got to get out of the rut.
Yeah, you do.
Okay,
and that's why I think I don't know. Maybe I've mentioned it a long time ago, but I would like to be able to load up watch faces so they change automatically, like a sequence.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Based on day or time or where you are, you could locate your GPS and change your watch face to something. I think that would be kind of cool.
Well, that's what someone was mentioning in that article last week. We talked about complications that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
That they would change based on where you are and what time of day.
Right.
And what's on your schedule or, you know, all that kind of stuff becomes smarter.
Yeah. A work one and a home one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of loaded up a whole bunch of watch faces and I just kind of customized the complications to be the same four or five and then use those. But so I'm used to where the complications are and then the watch face is different. And it's nice to kind of shake it up a little bit.
Right. I mean, it would be nice if there's auto detection of a workout, right? We have that. It'd be nice if it detected that I'm working out and switch my watch face to accommodate that I have a workout watch face, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That, oh man, it makes so much sense.
It's a software thing.
It is. It's just software. Yeah. But I don't know if we'll ever see it. But we'd like to. Okay, so what do I like this week? I discovered a new app. actually the developer made me aware of this app. It's called Kernel, K-E-R-N-E-L. It is a movie release tracker.
Not the fried chicken.
No, it is not Kernel. It's K-E-R-N-E-L. And it's not like a anything on the computer side, the software Kernel, right? It's for the popcorn. Movie release tracker. It's by a company called Minor Bits LLC. Now, this app is perfect right now for the summer movie season. But actually, it's good to use all year round if you're a big movie fan. There are so many movie releases these days, it's hard to keep up with them all. And that's kind of where this app Kernel comes in. I absolutely love this app. It's a free app, but it does have a $1.99 in-app purchase that I'm sorry, I cannot tell you exactly what it gives you because I immediately upgraded and now I'm not sure what the extra brings you. Okay. So I'm going to review this as the $1.99 version. Okay. Cause I know I did that. I liked it that much. I just went ahead and updated it. So anyway, you start by choosing from a list of upcoming movies, and this is in the app on the phone, of course. And it's pretty much anything you're interested in. It keeps track of the releases, the release dates, sorry, for you. So for instance, if I chose, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new Quentin Tarantino movie coming up, I simply click on a little plus button that's at the bottom of the movie poster image, and it saves it to my list, where I can now see that it says it opens in exactly 60 days from now. Okay, so you get what's called a watch list of all the movies you want to see, and that way you never ever miss them. You can choose from three different categories: theater. So theatrical releases, digital, okay, so it's things you can download or rent or stream, and then physical releases, so, you know, DVDs, Blu-ray, all that sort of stuff. Now, if you don't see a movie as you're scrolling through this list, simply search for it, and I bet you more than likely it's going to be there. If you've heard of the movie, it's probably on this list. From the watch list, if I select one of the movies, I get the status of the production, I get the release date, I get a brief description of the movie, and if I swipe left, I get any and all trailers for that movie right there in the app. So that's pretty nice.
On the watch face?
No, this is on the phone. No, this is on the phone.
Okay.
I haven't gotten the watch yet.
I was getting excited.
No. That would be cool. Now, on the watch, when you launch the app, you will see your watch list that you've created, and you can scroll through that. If you force press, you get the option to view as a full screen, which gives you the movie posters to scroll through with the number of days to release below. As a movie poster collector, I love this feature. I love seeing those little movie posters on my watch. If you tap any of the posters, it gives you a full screen ring, you know, like, kind of like your activity ring, which visually shows you how long you have to wait for that movie to come out. And then that quickly changes to show you the title of the movie with the description over a screen back image of the poster. So very, very nice, very well designed for the Apple Watch. If you force press at this point, you get the option to track the release on the complication. Now, that's a very nice option.
Wow.
Now, the complication, so if there's a movie you really want to track, you can just force press, make it your complication setting. So the complication for the corner of the infograph watch face displays a number of days with kind of a line graphic that kind of shows you visually how long. If you choose the subdial top complication, it shows an icon of the Kernel logo for the app, which is a bag of popcorn, with the release ring around it. Okay, that gives you a visual for it. And in curved type above it, you get the number of days and the name of the movie, which is nice. If you use the infograph modular face and you put it in the middle position, you get the movie title, days that it takes to release, and a mm-hmm. bar graph of that kind of visually shows you how long. Now, if tapping on any or tapping on the complication will bring up the screen for that movie, which is also very nice. It just doesn't default you to the app. It brings up that exact movie that you had marked. There's also a blog section in the phone app that has movie reviews and news, all that sort of stuff. One of the developers of this app is actually a listener. His name is Brian Miner. He has another app for the watch called Obtain that we haven't reviewed yet. But Brian, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show sometime. So just let us know when you're available, or if you'd like to be on the show, we'd love to have you. Anyway, if you're a movie fan, check out this app. I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But it's perfect timing for the summer. I've already got my movies chosen and lined up.
That's awesome.
Yep. So I'm going to be seeing a lot more movies this summer.
Wait, Tom, you can almost next time do just kind of an the there's three or four apps, and I think we might have joked about it off the air a couple weeks ago about the different apps that you can use now to watch a movie, when to leave the movie to go to the restroom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whether after credits, there's right. A whole bunch of stuff.
There's a ton of very helpful apps now for movies, but this is one. It's a category I would have thought somebody would have done this before, but if they have, I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a no-brainer because I used to go to an old website called and I still go there for news on movies and stuff. It's called Dark Horizons. It's a website mm-hmm. out of Australia that has all the kind of gossip things that are going on in production of movies and things like that. But they also had a section of coming soon stuff that I would always go to that. And you have to look mm-hmm. at a calendar date and swipe through to find the movie. Whereas this is perfect, right on my wrist. All right, Chris, what do you have? What do you like this week?
Well, Tom, I think I'm going to take a page out of your book and talk about some bands.
Okay.
So I bought three bands. I bought the Spruce Fog Nike Sport Band.
Okay.
I bought the Spruce Fog Nike Sport Loop. And I bought the Anthracite Black Nike Sport Band. So I bought all three of those. I'll probably end up giving the Sport Loop to my son. He's a big Sport Loop guy. I'm not. I keep buying these. Let me start with that one first. But if you like Sport Loops,
yeah,
the color's neat. And the Sport Loop is it's a very comfortable band. What I just found out this with the Spruce Fog, it's nice. It just doesn't match a lot of things. But again, if you like the Sport Loop, it's a very comfortable, nice looking band, and I'm not a big fan, but one of these days, like you don't change watch faces, I don't use the Sport Loops, but I think I'm going to have to start doing it. Mm. The Sport Band I like better, because I just like the Nike Sport Bands a lot better. I like the feel of them, the thickness of them, mm-hmm. The dual color of them. And I overuse those a lot. And sometimes I always wonder, they may not be as professional. You go into a business meeting with an executive or something, you got a Sport Loop on from
yeah.
Nike.
Yeah, it looks like you just
always
came.
Have some change. I always yeah. have bands in my work bag, and I'll swap them out at the last minute. But, you know, the Spruce Fog is nice. The Anthracite is a little darker. I found that one even a little harder to match. I'll wear it around when I'm really casual, but the Anthracite's a lot darker. And it's a little harder to see the dual color, but mm-hmm. but they're nice bands. I think the Nikes, I kind of gravitate to the Black Volt and the Pure Platinum, which is the white and the black, and I probably wear those two more than any bands I wear. And then there's one other band I have not bought yet. Actually, there's two more Nike bands that I haven't bought yet. One is the Teal Tint. And the other is the Black Hyper Grape. Do either of you have those?
I have the Black Hyper Grape Sport Loop.
Hyper Grape?
Sport Loop, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Hyper Grape. Band. Okay.
I'm currently
Sport Loop again. It looks nice in the picture. Is it a nice looking band?
Yeah, I'm currently wearing it.
Oh, look at you.
I have it on right now, and I reviewed this a few shows back. You're not quite into it yet, but I absolutely love the Sport Loops. They're now
I think I need to buy the black one or the seashell that looks really nice and mm-hmm. just start wearing them and just keep them on until I like them.
Well, the thing I like about them is that they're not as high end as like if you're wearing a metal band, like a Milanese mm-hmm. loop or a leather band or something more, you know, higher end, but they're not, like you said, as sporty as just the Sport Band. Sport Band to me looks like you just came back from working out, you know, whereas this at least has a little bit of
and that's right
difference to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my, you know, I work out almost every day, and I'm lazy, and I'm like, well, I need to put bands like everywhere now. I need to put bands in my car, in my work bag, because when I go work out, I don't want to have a sport loop on because it just gets all sweaty.
Well, so I'll give you a tip. I wear my sport loop in the shower. Get it wet,
no,
clean it, and just, you know, I'll leave it on and just dry it with a towel, the outside, and it'll be dry from your body heat within, you know, 20, 30 minutes max.
Okay.
Yeah, you can clean, you can wash them. They're totally
I would
fine.
Have to do that because if you sweat, you know, sweat.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
You know, you just have to do that. So, all right. Well, maybe you're kind of talking me into buying a couple of these. Okay. Maybe I'll keep this one.
All right. If not, send it my way. No. Go ahead.
Well, I just kind of ruined my son's Father's Day if he listens to the show.
Okay.
so anyway. And then just to kind of finish up in the bands, I really, really like the leather loops.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look great. I love the feel of those too. And I love how they kind of snap around your wrists. And I used to, you know, I used to wear those to like sporting events. Like if I went to my university sporting event, I put that color on. Or if I went to a pro sports team, I put that color on because the leather loops just, I really like the look and feel, but I just can't bring myself to pay $149 for Apple. So I bought a number of them on Amazon and they just don't seem to hold up. If anyone listening has used a leather loop and there's a certain brand that you've bought and it's stood the test of time, please email us. I would love to buy it. But you know, I just can't buy a $149 one. I'm sure it lasts forever, but I think I need to buy a $29.99 leather loop that lasts for a long time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I have, I have the one from Apple, which still is magnificent to this day, and that was from several years ago. But the one I did get, a couple of them I did get off of Amazon or other places, I just don't wear them that much because I know they're not going to last. If I wear them too much, they're going to wear out.
On the sides.
Exactly.
They just don't look good.
Yeah, they're not.
The color fades.
It's not the same, obviously, level of quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Apples are more expensive, but I have yet to have an Apple band that I'm disappointed in how it wears over time.
Yeah, same here. I think I have all the sport bands except Spearmint and Papaya. I think everything else I have.
Okay.
So I need some more of those too.
So that's a Father's Day tip, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. For you.
It's starting to sound like a cooking show, guys.
Yeah. And I have to report one more thing, Tom.
Sure.
Real quick. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, and what I reported I didn't like was how my activity app was sticking, and I would have to wait 10 or 12 seconds before it would respond to the digital crown. I thought it was fixed when I upgraded it, and it isn't. So it still does it. So I'm not really sure what I need to do to fix that, but it's annoying when I open my activity app using the complication and it doesn't do anything for 10 to 12 seconds.
Wow. I haven't noticed that.
So I may have to re-dispair the watch, I'm thinking. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's annoying.
And I'm still having the issue with the phone when I open up settings and it's frozen for a good 10 seconds or more.
Yeah, that's a little more annoying, probably.
And then, you know, eventually let's go. But and that's after an update. I updated the most recent security update that.
Oh, they okay, had. So that's recent then.
Yeah, still happening. So I don't know what the deal is.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Does it do Face ID?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and then it just sticks, huh?
I have to say, the Face ID on my phone is amazing.
Like,
same
here.
Like from the side at an angle. And
oh yeah, my kids know this.
Oh, do they? That's funny.
I did it with sunglasses and a hat, and it did it.
Yes, I know.
I was super surprised, and I'm like, oh, no, you maybe don't want it to do it, but it did it.
It did it. It had enough points to say, okay, that's you. Yeah?
Yes.
Nice. All right. Time here, I guess, real quick. We'll do one quick listener feedback. This comes to us from Ray, a longtime listener. Ray says, from my testing, I think you had this wrong on the last show. You don't use the side button, but instead the digital crown to silence or send to voicemail. He says, another watch tip. Here's another tip to silence the watch and or send to voicemail. Use digital crown. Press once to silence. Press again to send to voicemail. I haven't had a chance to test this yet. Chris, this was your deal last week, I think. You're talking about sending a.
Yeah, it was.
And it was it was side.
No,
button,
I guess
right?
I could have. I mean, remember I said I kind of did it accidentally, I did the side button.
Okay, but maybe it was the.
But maybe crown? I hit the crown.
I'm not sure, but apparently Ray's done some testing on this. I always tap the red button, and I look that up. You know, the dismiss call thing on your watch. I looked it up, and according to Apple, that does send it to voicemail.
At the end?
When you hit the red button when it's ringing, you don't recognize who it is, you hit the red button to dismiss it, that apparently sends it to voicemail. So there's apparently several ways to do this.
Okay. It's
the same action. I think the other thing to dismiss it is just simply, if you have it activated in settings, if you simply cover the watch with your hand, It will silence the call.
That's
as well.
The old silencer. Yeah, just cover your watch and it
shuts up. But the buttons I'm not sure about now. Now I don't know which one to push, I'm afraid, because I don't want to answer the call, right?
Any button but the green one.
We'll figure it out and we'll let you all know what it is. But it may be both. Who knows? The way this works, there's several ways to do it. But anyway, thank you for that email, Ray. Do appreciate it. Anything else to talk about before we start looking for a new wallet that's worthy of our upcoming titanium Apple Card?
Ooh, Apple Card!
Yeah, it's coming this summer. It'll be here soon. I'm actually looking for a new wallet. Mine's kind of worn out, so I got to get a new... I can't put that shiny titanium card in my old...
Is it metal?
Worn out. It's titanium, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Yeah. I just can't bring myself to bring it in my kind of ratty looking old wallet. I need something nicer. That's my way of cleaning out my wallet, is I get a new one, right? Oh. You get rid of all the old stuff. So,
of course. That's the best way to do it.
I'm looking at Pad and Quill, you know, the company that does the leather stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've got some cool little things. For wallets that are kind of nice, but anyway, all right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it, especially here on a holiday. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show every week. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to a lot of the stuff that we talk about on our show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast service that you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.